Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
We need to learn to wait on the Lord. We need to learn how to still the flesh. You know, a few days ago I woke up and there was a terrific attack. You know, I have a list of things to do that's very long, like everybody else. And you know, normally I would just, you know, after my time with the Lord, I would go work on that list. But the attack was so strong, I thought, I am spending the day with God. Everything else can just wait. And I spent the whole day with the Lord. So I'm going to ask you to put your worries on hold. Even the questions of your heart. Hear him saying, come into the temple. As in days of old, there were times and seasons where people left their farms, their homes, their businesses. They made their way to Jerusalem. It was very busy. Jerusalem wasn't normally all that big, but in the feast days, thousands and thousands of people, pilgrims, came from everywhere. And everyone in town would get ready because there would be so many pilgrims coming from all over. And people came for miles and miles and miles, and they brought their gifts to God. And it was holy. And it was a time of meeting with Him and putting everything else. Everything else in life went on the back burner. One of the greatest forms of worship we can have is to come before Him with no agenda and say, I have nothing else that comes before You today. I have nothing else but just to meet with You this evening, to hear what You have to say, Jesus. Whatever You want to do, I'm here. Years ago, I was driving in the car and I had a lot of car time, and I was asking the Lord, do You want me to pray in the Spirit? Do You want me to listen to a teaching? Or do You want to teach me and have me just listen to You? And He said, I want you to just sit and listen to me while I teach you. And I said, really? And He said, did you know that listening is a form of worship? And I thought, no, I didn't know that. How is that so? He said, when you listen to me, you are saying that what I have to say is more important than what you have to say. Imagine if someone told you you're going to have an audience with the King. Imagine if Jesus said, make an appointment with me, make a date. God has said that to me. Some of the greatest times of hearing from God, we made a date. And when you make a date with somebody, nobody else gets that time, do they? Imagine if someone said to you, Jesus is going to show up at your house this Thursday at 3. If you believed them, you would be at your house. You would be waiting. You would, but at 3, you wouldn't be goofing around, hopefully, if you have any sense at all. You'd be sitting and waiting with Him, and you'd probably have your recorder and your notebook and your Bible, and you'd be waiting for Him to come. And you probably wouldn't do what you usually do with Him, where you blather on and tell Him all your needs and complain about all your problems. You'd probably sit and have Him teach you and teach you and teach you and teach you, wouldn't you? Because you know that He's smarter than you are, if you have any sense. And that's the sense in which Mary listened to Jesus. She knew. She knew that what He had to say was more important than what she had to say, than her little problems of her little life. Imagine the Master of the Universe shows up at your house. Holy. But we have something even better than that. He said we can go to the temple anytime we want, day or night. He said it in Hebrews, come boldly into the Holy of Holies to meet with me, right? To meet with God. The reason I'm talking about this is the other day I was in prayer. Suddenly I was in the temple. You know, did you ever get in prayer and suddenly you're not, your body's here, but your spirit man is there. He's saying, I want to teach you something. I want to teach you how to come in that place anytime at all. I love when you meet together, but I'd love it if you didn't have to wait until you meet together to meet with me. I want to teach you about the fire of God. He says, whether you know it or not, there's a fire still going in the temple. He says, I have fire for each of you. Some of you have been avoiding me. Not all of you, but some of you have been afraid and avoiding me. I want you to know, if you're mine, I have good things for you. And I want to distribute the fire of God among you. Because for too long my church has been like wet wood that wouldn't burn. But I want it to be crackling hot, snapping hot, so that there's a fire that burns so bright and so high that people see it from far off, from miles away. And when I went in the temple a few days ago, I was praying and he took me. And it wasn't actually the Holy of Holies this time. It was where the altar is. Where in the olden days the priests would, where they would burn the animals. And I saw the wood, you know, they had a chamber of wood where the temple servants would bring this wood and bring wood and bring wood, you know, all day, bring wood. Now Jesus has already done the one for all time, paramount sacrifice for all eternity. But he showed me a fire on that altar that was amazing. I've never seen anything quite like it. It was the color of fire, but it had pink and amber tones in it, and it was gorgeous. and it burned high. It was no small thing. It was high. And he said, because of my sacrifice, there's a fire in the temple. You may not have seen it in the earth. You may not have seen it in your life. You may not have seen it. But he wants you to know that fire has never gone out. It has never gone out, and for all eternity it burns because of what Jesus did, that fire. I saw it. It was high. It was large. And I heard myself say, let it be seen for miles. And I saw that he was going to do something to make his fire seen for miles. His fire is going to come upon the church, and I believe upon us. I believe if we're willing to say, give me the fire of God. Let me carry the fire of God. But it's not something to say lightly, because when the fire comes, it brings his presence, it brings his glory. Sometimes it brings also a great spirit of repentance upon us. Some of you might say, well, I don't think I have anything to repent of. I'm doing pretty good. Well, you know what? When you get in the presence, you become painfully aware that there might be more to deal with than you think. But it's wonderful. It's a wonderful cleansing as that spirit of repentance. I love the spirit of repentance when it comes upon me. You know, I love, if you're not familiar with it, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. So if you want the fire of God, I believe we should just quietly say, Lord, I ask for the fire of God. I ask you that I will carry the fire of God. And Lord, I submit to you, and if you want to burn some stuff out of me, it's okay. I know you only want what's best for me. I see God releasing his glory to individuals. I actually see, it's a picture that I'm seeing of his glory hitting certain people in the chest and stomach area. Sometimes when that happens, you know right away, and sometimes about 2 or 3 days goes by, and you say, what happened? I'm different. I'm changed. We had people come home from Colorado, and they said, I just don't want to do the stuff I used to do anymore. I'm just not interested anymore. I don't know what happened. They didn't even know when it happened. I kind of know when it happened, but it happened in Colorado, and it happened to me too. It's called the changing presence of God. Hear him saying, come with me, follow me. For too long, Christianity has been going your own way and asking me to bless it. But I did not say that. I said, pick up your cross and follow me. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. But with power. It's Some of you are receiving healing power right now. I see healing power being imparted. I don't mean just power to be healed. I mean power to heal. I saw a new boldness coming on certain people. I saw someone here with Marketplace Ministry. You have a huge, a huge anointing for them. You have a huge anointing for Marketplace Ministry. I'll hold that word because I just walked out the door. See someone receiving a healing ministry, a healing ministry, a healing ministry. And I don't know what this means to you, but I heard without apology and with boldness. And you're going to heal, not just I see you healing with compassion. You know, a true person, a person that has a strong gift of healing or working in miracles, often with it flows in a great deal of compassion. It's actually a flow that comes through. I used to watch Edgar weep over people's pain he could not bear, but it was really God's compassion. It wasn't his own. I'm seeing a release of the compassion combined with healing power, combined with boldness. It's a package. He had an enormous amount of boldness. You have to be bold to heal people on the streets. You know, you can't be a shrinking violet, you know. And people find fault with Peter, but I think Peter is just awesome. I want to be like him, you know. People were fighting to get in his shadow. And I'm seeing something of that type of an anointing being released. If you feel like if there's a quickening in your heart and you think that's you, just say to God, I'll receive that, I'll take that. It's for more than one person, so don't come in and ask me. Was it me? You'll know in your heart. You take it. You receive it. I receive it. You receive it. I'm seeing a release of the same type of healings that Paul had. Do you remember the story where he was preaching to a crowd and he looked at a man and saw that he had faith to be healed? That's a gift of the Spirit, right? He was seeing. Someone here has a teaching gift. And I'm seeing you already have this gift, but I see it being expanded, and I want to use my hands, so I'm going to hold that cord and do this. It looks like this, like a balloon that blows up. You already have the gift, but it is being increased. It is a teaching gift, and with it, here's the important thing about a teaching gift. Teaching gift often is accompanied by a real gift of study. A good teacher is usually a very good student of the Word. They're not satisfied to know it lightly. They like to dig and dig and dig and dig and dig in the Word of God, and it is for the sake of the body. I'm seeing an increase. I'm going to ask, you know, you have, most people have your eyes shut, that's fine, but if you have a teaching gift, I'm going to have you raise your hand right now. Amen, amen, amen. Father, thank you that you are releasing an increase. Is that Stuart back there? He left the room, but I want you to know God was releasing something to you. He said that you you have such a marketplace ministry anointing. Actually, I think it's on your whole family, but that anointing is increasing, and it's bundled with evangelism. And I know that's not news to you. You've always had this, but I saw a like the wind of God blow through it like a great boldness anointing. I see increase in the impact, increase in the areas, the avenues. I just see an increase in every way, and it was as though God breathed right through it. I saw in the middle of the night, and I don't know if this happens to you now, but if it hasn't been, it's going to even more. I saw in the middle of the night you waking up just like wide awake right in the middle of the night and getting up and going to your computer and just making transactions and just reaching out to people and just under the anointing, getting business done, but it's also business for the kingdom. I see souls and I see finances. Souls, finances, it's a marketplace ministry. And the anointing just come upon you, and it's almost like it would be easy to turn over, but just get up and deal with it, because God is doing something amazing. Something you've been praying into for a while, you've seen it. You have it, you know it, but I see like life coming into it, great, great abundant life coming into it by the breath of the Father. And it is His will. And some people don't really understand it. They don't understand you. That's okay. That is okay. You know, they didn't really understand it about Jesus either. I just, God's not letting me off of it. I want to say this. It's a big deal. This is a very important to the kingdom. very important to the kingdom, and it won't look like traditional ministry, and it won't look like traditional business either. I saw someone, and actually this is for several people, your life has not been easy lately. I see some people that have been in a wilderness experience, and for some people it's been kind of long, like a long trudging type of wilderness experience. I feel like for some people it's been like you've been going round and round that same mountain and kind of like stuck and wondering what the deal is. And I saw Jesus come and intervene. And say, let me lead you in the way you need to go. Your way isn't working. Your compass is broken. And he's saying it in love. He's not... This is by no means a rebuke. He loves you. But sometimes we need to be rescued, don't we? Sometimes we need help. And there's someone in here. Said, let me be your compass for a while. I see this picture of a person, they're holding this old broken compass and it's forever pointing the same way, and they're going round and round and round the same mountain and wondering, why isn't it working? I think, sweetie, you're following your own way, the thoughts of your own heart, and that can only get us in trouble. And I saw him show you his compass. And it was amazing. It was beautiful, brass, new, shiny, and it was perfect. I mean, just honed perfectly. He was saying, I know the way. You can trust me. But you need to throw away your compass. It's broken. And I think the interpretation of that is, don't go the way of your own mind. Lean not to your own understanding. Some of us need to learn the art of following God. We need to learn the art of trusting Him, even if He goes a way we didn't quite think was the way we would have gone. You quietly say, nobody needs to hear you, but under your breath, say to God, you know what, I'm ready to let go of my compass. I'm ready to quit doing it my way. Show me your compass. Teach me how to be led. Teach me how to be led by the Spirit of God. Teach me how to know what you're saying. Teach me how to follow you, even when I don't really understand it. And know that you're going to make this right. my way isn't working. Talking to somebody. And I remember the day I said it to God. I realized all my ways, they're not working. I'm screwing it up. I'm trying all this logic and good ideas, and it's just not working. And I finally took the hint. And that was the day I started a journey of learning how to follow him. You know, it's something you aren't born knowing that. You have to learn it. But it's a great adventure following Jesus. And it means trusting him when he says something that you think is weird. It means following him when you don't understand why he's telling you to do something. There's someone here that has a worship anointing, but it's for whatever reason it's had a cap on it. And I saw the Lord peeling this. It was almost like you had a tarp that was smothering you in the spirit. And sometimes that happens because there's an enemy, right? Sometimes if you don't see in the spirit, or you don't have aren't perceptive. Okay, I'll say it that way. Sometimes you feel oppression, you feel pressure in the spirit, or you feel sad, or, you know, scared or down or whatever, hopeless. And sometimes what that is it's an assignment against the enemy where there's some junk on you in the spirit, right? And if you don't know it's there, you probably don't know how to pray it off. That's why we pray. That's why you pray in the spirit, to get the junk. To break the stuff, take authority and say, I'm not subject to you, enemy. Not ever, never, no, never. And so some of you, I'm going to help you. I'm going to break some assignments off you tonight. Some of you have been under some oppression. I'm going to take care of it, but you need to walk in it. Because Satan, he wants to oppress. He wants to bring trouble. He wants to bring strife. And he can't make you do it, but he'll bait you. He'll bait you. He can't make you sin. He doesn't have that much power. You are the only one that can agree with it. But you can say no. You can say no to strife. If Satan came and tempted you with something obvious, it'd be easier for you to say no, right? If it was real obvious. Go rob a bank. Well, of course not. I'm a believer. Why would I do that? Oh, but what about you're angry? That person did you wrong. You get them back. Pray against them, you know. He's not going to tempt you with stuff that he knows won't work on you. He's going to try to trick you into allowing something that will give him an open door. Right? So what does the Bible say? Just for this one example, where there is strife, there's confusion and every evil work. That's a scary statement. So sometimes it's good to stay in the spirit and stay prayed up, so that when that tries to bait you, you're sharp enough to say, no. Nope, sorry devil, not today, not getting in that. Right now I see people being released. From your past, I see someone getting released from memories. And it has caused you to react with what's called a knee-jerk reaction. You know, someone says something and boom, you're reacting. But it's because of your past. It's because of an old wound. And I see the Lord touching wounds right now in the heart. Healing. Somewhere in this room, there's... You know, I don't always understand every word that He gives me, but I do know when it's Him. And I heard that someone in here has had a life tragedy. And it was like a landmine went off. And you've never been the same. You know, imagine, you know, a friend of mine goes to Cambodia and he said there's still landmines in Cambodia from way back. And they're everywhere and people don't know. So people just be walking along and boom. And it wrecks their whole life. There's guys over there with no legs, you know, half a body, and they have these little carts, they roll along. Well, someone here, you had a life tragedy. And it was like a landmine that it wrecked your life. It wrecked a lot of things in your life. And the Lord says, He is the only one that can restore. But He said, I am restoring some things that were lost to you. And there's some things that when that happened to you, you gave up. It was just too much. And you kind of, I saw a picture of you and your shoulders just went down like it's too much. I just can't do anymore. And I saw God touch your life, touch your heart and mind. And I saw Him begin to restore that which was stolen and that which was lost. Someone here, you had some severe financial loss a few years ago. And because of it, it's been hard for you to believe that God is really going to provide in a better way. But God says, I want to restore. I want to restore. He said, I bring life. That's who I am. It's the enemy that brings death. It's the enemy that steals and kills and destroys. Don't confuse the two of us. We're nothing alike. Nothing. Nothing alike. We have nothing in common. Don't attribute His works to me. Don't attribute the works of the enemy to me, the Lord says. You know, there's a great scripture in Acts that says how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God is good and has good things for us. I see restoration in the air, restoration for lost and stolen goods. Someone here, a few years ago, you went through a divorce. It was pretty terrible and not only heartbreaking, but I saw there was break in relationship with your kids. Your kids, you know, kids, my parents were divorced, so I know a little bit. You know, when my parents divorced, it was pretty awful. And there were five of us kids, and we were like, what do we do, you know? How do we handle this, you know? And it was back in the day when it wasn't as common. And you know, people took sides. It was just awful. And in one, there was, wasn't me, but there was a relationship in my family that was broken, utterly broken, severed for years because of it, you know? And it was devastating. Not to me, but it was devastating to my mom and my mom. It happened to my mom. And you know, I'm seeing something like that for someone here. That you went through this divorce and I saw financial ruin, but I also saw broken hearts and broken relationship and broken ties and broken trust. There was a broken trust that went on, and God says, I am healing hearts. I am healing and restoring. He may not restore that marriage, but He likes to restore the family. He loves people. God loves people. And if our anger over a situation separates us from God, then we have blown it. No life event is worth being separated from God over. He's your source of life. Don't be stupid. Don't let anger or bitterness or regret or wounding separate you from God. But put it on the altar and walk in love, walk in forgiveness, walk in mercy and grace. Saw, this is a different person. This is a broken heart. Your heart has been broken and you've been weeping before the Lord because your heart is broken. And I saw Jesus. You know, Jesus is the great healer. He healed me from brokenness that was I was so broken. I really didn't even want to live. I was so broken. My heart was broken. My life was broken. Utterly broken. My soul was broken. And Jesus healed me. Utterly. And I saw a picture of Jesus putting His finger, you know, just gently in your heart. Just, it's a picture. It's a parable. I see emotional healing coming for someone, and I saw it come down like the anointing from God come right down over you. And when God heals you, when He heals you, you're healed. You're never the same again. You can walk in joy. Real joy. Joy is even better than happiness. I mean, happy. I'm happy and joyful. I got both. But happiness is, you know, something great happens and you're happy and that's good. But joy, it's something deep on the inside that can never be taken. It's unrelated to circumstances or what's going on. It's just a joyfulness that's because you're in Him. And when I was broken, completely broken, God began to heal me, and I was... So He sent a person with a word from God for me, and I couldn't even hear them because the power of God was so strong. And when I looked, I instead of seeing them, I saw a well of joy. This person had a well of joy. I didn't ask permission. I just grabbed, it was a guy, I grabbed his hand, stuck it on my head, and pulled. And I got a well of joy that has been with me from then on, and that was just about 1994. That's a long time to have a well of joy. Right now I break off family expectations. you know, expectations. I just feel like I need to teach this. I don't know if I can do it and play at the same time, but expectations are unhealthy. If you begin to expect things from people, like certain types of behavior, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Okay? Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you expect people, you know, I was raised in a home where you were taught to hold the door for older people, and if somebody was carrying a box, you held the door for them. Do you ever have somebody drop the door on you when you're holding a box? And if you expect them to have grown up in the same kind of home you did, you will be disappointed and angry because you have a false expectation. If you expect people to be polite when they're driving, you'll be disappointed. If you have expectations of people in relationship with you that they should behave a certain way, trust me, you will be disappointed, hurt, and angry. So to have unrealistic expectations is not good. You know how Jesus was able to take all the persecution? Was he knew what we were made of. He didn't expect us to behave properly. Imagine what it would have been like to be Jesus. Imagine what it would have been like if he had expected us to just say, "Oh, the Son of God, you're so wonderful. I'm just going to bow down and worship you." And people pick up rocks. Imagine what that would have been like. But it says he didn't have to have anybody tell him what was in man, because he knew what was in the heart of man. He knew exactly what was going on. And some of us have false expectations of others, but more than that, we have had expectations placed on us. And if you don't get free in your response, you will begin to feel like you have to respond to that. You don't. Now, our requirement is to love people, right? We're required to love people. But we're not required to dance to everybody else's tune. Jesus is our model for love. If we adapt this soupy, mushy, gooey kind of love, we need to read about Jesus. Jesus was a tough cookie. His definition of loving someone is you die for them. Come on. His definition of loving someone is, even if they're the worst stinker in the world, you die for them to give them an opportunity to come close to God. It doesn't necessarily mean you're all ooey gooey and mushy gushy. And so some people think they're loving, but in fact they wouldn't die for somebody. They wouldn't even change their plans. That's not love, is it? So we have to redefine what love is. We have to redefine what relationship should be. And I said all that to say, God's given a word of knowledge right now that there's people in here that there has been heavy expectations placed on you, and you, because of the problems you grew up with, you have bondages on you where you think you're supposed to do all that. Jesus didn't. He never bent one... He didn't change one thing for the Pharisees. And they were the leaders of the country. Right? They were the leaders of the country, the teachers of the law. And he wasn't moved by them. Now, he still died for them, even though they were stinkers. He died for stinkers. But he wasn't going to change what he was put here to do. Okay? And he didn't apologize for what he was put here to do. And that's true wholeness. God is bringing some of you into a greater realm of emotional wholeness. Okay? Some of you are going to get free from a man-pleasing spirit. Hallelujah. Some of you are going to get free from the fear of man. But take care that when that happens, you don't become a turkey. Some of you are only nice to people because you got a man-pleasing spirit. And when you get free, don't be a jerk. you know, sometimes layers, you get healed in layers, you get delivered in layers, and a layer comes up and you go, ooh, that's not so good, what I just found under there, that was hidden under this. Come on, for years I wore a mask. I didn't know how to do life. And I had problems and I was shy and fearful, so I had this mask. Well, guess what, when God removed the mask, now I have to look at what's under it. Oh no! See, there's layers, but God wants us. Have we not asked to be like Jesus? If you have a real relationship with him, you have very likely sought him to be changed, to be like him. Well, that usually involves deliverance, my friend. That usually involves emotional healing. And there's no shame about it. If we don't get healed, if we don't get delivered, then we're letting people encounter our baggage instead of our Jesus. Okay? And people are encountering us. Do you ever meet somebody that can't stand the church because they met Christians and weren't treated well? Right? They say that Gandhi read about Jesus. He read the Word of God and he loved Jesus. He loved who Jesus was. He wanted to become a Christian. And he went to a church and they were racist and they rejected him because his skin was dark. And he became a great Hindu leader, didn't he? Bad move on the part of the church. So they weren't free from their deal and we lost what would have been, I believe, a great man of God. Right? So if we don't get free, instead of helping people find Christ, we are pushing them away because we're the only representative of Jesus that there is. So it really is good to get free of our stuff. And I'm just going to say this. I feel like the Lord is wanting me to say this. I met a lady who was really bound. You know, God bless her. She was just a real mess. Very, very hard to be around because you're not, when you're around someone that's bound, You're really encountering their demons, okay? They don't know that, but it's sometimes a bit difficult to interact with a person like that, you know? And if you're not perceptive in the spirit, you don't even realize. You just think, well, that person's, you know, mean. That person's rude. That person's this or that. But really what they are is they're bound, and they need deliverance. And so I was gently talking. She was a Christian. I was gently talking to her about the idea of deliverance. She said, well, I've gotten deliverance. Hallelujah. And I smiled and I thought, oh, dear heaven, help me. Hallelujah. Because none of us can say, I'm there. I've gotten deliverance. I'm good just the way I am. Really? I look in the mirror and listen, I know that Jesus lives in us and that's awesome. That's awesome. And we can manifest that and that's great. But if I don't manifest him all the time when no one's looking, then I still need to work on some stuff, don't I? I still need to press in until that layer is removed. I need to press in until anything that's left of Holly is gone. What if we were able? What did he say? If any man would follow me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross, his torture device, his crucifixion daily, every day, and follow me. What does that mean? It means we have to die so that he can live through us. And it's a process. We have to be willing to crucify our junk. And if we aren't, I submit to you, I don't think we're really followers of Christ. He said, if any man would follow me, period. Not there's not four ways. This is the way. It involves a cross. And we don't hear this preached a lot because we have a whole bunch of people who've been trained that it's all about the blessing. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in the blessing. I am blessed. I love the blessing. But if any man would follow me, let him deny himself. What is he talking about? He's talking about there's some change. Some healing has to happen. Some deliverance needs to happen. How hungry are you to manifest Jesus himself? And if you aren't, you haven't seen the real Jesus. If you ever see Jesus in real action, I was in a meeting in Toledo, Ohio one time, and I've never been in any meeting like this before or since. There was a presence of God that came, and it wasn't a sweet, loving, kind presence. It was terrifying. I wanted to get on the floor and put 15 quilts over me. It was the holiness of God. And I watched God do miracles that day, and I mean creative, amazing miracles. People with metal plates in their body were healed. People that hadn't moved in 10 years were healed. I watched it. I watched it happen. If we ever really encounter Him in the reality of who He is, for me, we will see that this is the pearl. He's the pearl of great price, and it's worth anything and everything. It's worth anything, any cost. And I'm going to be kind of mean here. But what we have in, and I'm not talking about you guys, I'm just saying broad spectrum, global church, especially American church, we have a bunch of people that have heard a gospel that doesn't involve any cost at all. And it's so about me. And I'm glad that people understand there's a blessing, but I fear that if we do not understand the idea of being made into His image, no matter what that costs, because think of what you get. We want to move in power, don't we? I love having the power of God in my life. I have power in my life, not as much as I want. Not as much as I want. So I'm still going to press. I'm still going to press in. It is a journey. Is it legally ours? Yes, it legally belongs to every believer. But experientially, most people will never walk in it because they're not willing to leave the carnal lifestyle and be changed into somebody that can release Jesus in the earth. If you came here for a nice word, I'm not sure you're going to get one. But the thing is, God wants us to walk in that fire. He desires to move in such fire that wherever you go, when you open your mouth, the fire of God hits people. And if you have understood that that's possible, you have probably asked for it. And God wants it more than you want it. But we have to come to a place where we're willing. I will change anything for Jesus. I will be delivered of anything. I will die to any dream. It doesn't matter what I wanted. If He says we're not doing that, out the door that goes. We're not talking about it. I'm not asking for it. I'm not even looking at it. If He wants to give it back to me later, that's His deal. We say we live for Him, but a lot of us are living for me, wanting Him to bless that. And wondering why it isn't working. Your compass is broken. Christianity was never intended to be a self-oriented religion. It never was. That's not what it is. When it was written, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. When that was written, and to whom it was written to people that if they dared to confess out loud with their mouth Jesus as Lord, they were headed straight for a coliseum full of lions. You understand? It wasn't just this nice little prayer that you pray in the front of church because you want to be saved and you don't want to go to hell. You better know when in those days and to whom that was written, specifically to whom that was written. If you confess Jesus as Lord, you might get thrown to the lions, but hey, you'll be saved. You see the perspective change? And guess what? They wanted it because they understood the pearl of great price. They understood what they could have. They understood who He was. Is He worthy? Is He worthy? And the answer is yes, He's worthy of it all. He's worthy of it all. I don't want you to think you're just crucifying your flesh for no reason. I'm saying that as you do that, Christ is more easily manifest through your mortal body. Because as you crucify your flesh, as you get delivered, as you get healed, and you stop reacting to stuff out of your stinking flesh. Oh, did I say that out loud? As that happens, what happens is you open the way for Jesus Christ to manifest himself in a way that brings him glory. Not a way that brings you glory. Although he'll sometimes let you house and carry. He'll let you carry. All of you were made to carry his presence. All of you were made to carry Jesus to the masses in one form or another, one way or another. And if not the masses, to your family. If we can't be Jesus to our own family, something's wrong. Edgar taught me how Jesus loves. I didn't understand love. I was clueless about love. I was broken. I was so broken. And Edgar loved me with God's love. No questions asked. He didn't ask why I was broken. He didn't try to fix it. He didn't give me advice. He just loved me. He just loved me. And the more he loved me, the more healed I got. The more he loved me, the more healed I got. The more he loved me, the more healed I got. And eventually, I fell in love with Edgar. And I began to realize that there's something of heaven that we need in the church. There's something more of heaven that we need in the church. I'm just waiting because I feel like some of you came and you're like, well, I wanted a nice word, you know, I wanted my dole healed. And God can heal you. He's already done the work to heal you. It's already been done in heaven. He's already provided for that. But this is what I've seen. We can walk in success or failure in the Christian life. We can have victory all the time. Doesn't mean there won't be a battle. But we can always have victory if we won't quit. The only exception I see in the Word is if they kill you, which is an honor. Yeah, I'm telling the truth. Persecution, Paul says it's an honor. It's an honor. He actually says we were called to suffer. Oh, no. But he doesn't mean poverty. He doesn't mean lay on a bed of nails. He's talking about persecution. He was persecuted and he was talking to people who were persecuted. How can we really understand what it is to follow Jesus when we are so clueless about true persecution? Selah. So God is calling us. We can walk in victory in greater ways than we have ever known. Listen, healing is yours. Provision is yours. Here's what the biggest thing that is yours. You're calling your purpose. The manifestation of God's promise, and especially as it concerns who you are in manifesting him. That belongs to you by covenant right, but it will not be manifested in most people. Most people never go to level one of their calling. It's true. Many, many are called. But here's how I used to think. Pardon me for going here, but this is by the Spirit, okay? I knew God called me, and I just thought, well, when he's ready, he'll do it. No. When I was ready, he could do it. He was ready day one. I wasn't. I thought I was. When I was ready, which meant going through some processes of humbling myself, repenting of some things, getting delivered from some things, getting healed from some things, being reformatted in some areas of my thinking, my behavior, still in process, hallelujah. But if we don't change, we will not manifest Jesus the way we're called to do. And I'm telling you, we're at a tipping point in history right now. We're at a tipping point in history where God is getting ready to unleash some things through the church, but there are some people he will be able to use and some he will not, and some who will be able to be used in a very limited way. Okay? I hope you can hear this. He is offering us heaven on a platter, right? But he's saying, it's not just going to show up at your house, knock on your door and say, you're just such a nice person that I'm just going to let you walk in the dead raising power. No, no, no. There's this journey, this transformation. And if you haven't considered him worthy enough, if you're casual about him and you haven't considered him worthy enough, listen, we need to consider him worth everything. Worth walking away from something else to go worship. Worth walking away from something else to go soak. Worth walking away from something else to go read the Bible or sit at his feet or talk to him. If we say he's worthy, but we don't actually act that out and put him first, he'll smile and love you, but he'll pick somebody else. Come on. He's offering us heaven. I can feel this. There's some people trying to sleep in asleep in spirit. Well, this is what I came for. Too bad. You know, one of the great things about being prophetic is you say exact. You have to say, by definition, your job is to say, as best as you know how, exactly what he's saying. That's the great news. That's also the bad news. Sometimes you don't get to say what you would like to say. You want to give everybody this nice, fluffy pat on the head. Oh, God loves you, and you're wonderful, and your knee is healed, you know, and that's great. But sometimes God is calling us to account, and it's because he loves us, because he wants more for you. It's because he's trying to bless you. He's trying to bring you into that place of continual victory. I see him imparting strength. I see strength. There's someone you have struggled with weakness in your walk. You have the desire. And I heard that scripture, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And I'm not sure if that means you have a physical thing that's making you weak or if it's emotional, but I see this, that you've been walking in weakness, but you've desired to do more with God. And I saw strength coming into you. I saw it was an actual impartation from the Father, he's saying, into you, and it is imparting strength. You will notice greater strength even over the next few days. There's someone here you have desired to talk to people about Jesus, but you struggle with words sometimes, and I saw the Lord putting his words in your mouth, even on the fly. It was like a cycle in your mouth, and you opened your mouth and spoke, and it was what God would say to that person. And here's the great news. When God says something to somebody, they're usually stunned. You know, they know there was something different about that. They know that that went straight to the heart. I've seen people who did not want anything to do with God. They didn't want to be saved. They didn't want to be witnessed to. They don't want to hear it. And you get one sentence from the Spirit of God and you speak it and they'd be like, I want what you have. I've seen it. Because when God speaks to him, he goes right past all the junk, straight into the heart like an arrow. God knows how to save people. He knows how to touch their hearts. He knows what their deepest issue is. Edgar and I, we were in Texas. We were in this little dinky church, and there was a guy named Chester. Not kidding, the guy's name was actually Chester. And Chester was really good at shooting pool. And Chester had an old pickup truck, and he went to this place where the kids would shoot pool and drink soda pop. And there was a bunch of kids, and he said, I want you guys to go to church with me. And they're like, uh-uh. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll shoot pool with you. He said, if you win, I'll buy all of you sodas for the whole night. And if I win, you got to go to church with me tomorrow. And they said, oh, yeah, fine. They didn't think he could win. Well, you whooped him. And so he drags in all these kids into the service. I don't know, there was like eight of them, maybe. And one of them was one of those kids that if you saw him in an alley, you would really want to be somewhere else. He had black fingernails. He had, you know, chains. He had the tattoos. He had the vest. He was a little spooky. Young, but spooky. And Edgar, being Edgar, went up to him and moved the chairs. And he turned around and sat down in a chair and faced this kid knee to knee. He was led by the Spirit to do this. And he gave him the elevator speech, and the elevator speech goes like this. If there were two elevators and one went up and you could be in paradise forever, and then the other elevator went down and it was in burning hellfire that never dies, which one would you want to go on? And this kid, this scary, scary, tattooed, black fingernailed, spooky kid, he said, "Would I see my mother?" And Edgar told me later, said, "I didn't have the heart to tell him, I don't know if your mother's in heaven." So he said, "Yes." And the kid got saved. Go, Edgar. One transaction in the spirit. Some of you that think I'm not evangelistic, I'm not a good soul winner, I see you are becoming a good soul winner. I'm seeing gifts of evangelism being distributed in the room and also online. I'm seeing God deliver. For some unknown reason, God allows me to impart gifts, even gifts that I don't have. I don't know why. The first time it happened, it was a 15-year-old girl, and she came up at the altar in my prayer line, and I said, "You're called to be an evangelist." And God, I didn't even touch her. God hit her in the belly with a fireball. She went flying, and the power of evangelist came on her. I'll be honest with you, I don't really carry that myself. Go figure. God is distributing some things tonight. Lori, I want you to be listening for what the Lord is saying also, if God is showing you some things. I saw someone, you have a journal. It's a brown leather journal. And you write in it. And sometimes it's a journal of what God is saying, but sometimes it's almost like a diary. And I saw, I don't know what this means, but I saw God's hand in the book. And the book was open, and I saw his hand come down, and a fire of God came in there. He said, "From now on, you're going to write the words of God prophetically. He's going to speak, and you're going to write. But it's not going to be your thoughts and your emotions. It's going to be what God is saying." And I don't get this, okay? But he said it's going to change many lives because you're going to write what he's saying, not only to you but to other people. You're going to write it, and then you're going to deliver it. You're going to write it, and you're going to deliver it. You're going to write it, and you're going to deliver it. You're going to call somebody and say, "Hey, I was sitting with the Lord this morning, and I got this word, and here's what it is. I can see this brown leather book. And I feel like God's saying that so you'll know who you are." You're going to start to write prophetically. Don't worry about the delivery. Don't worry about what people think. Just say, you know, just call. You just call them or you see them. And you say, "Hey, listen, this is how I started, exactly how I started, except I didn't do the journal." And I wouldn't say, "Thus says the Lord." I would just say, "Hey, you know what? I just have, does this bear witness? I have a sense of that." And then just kind of talk to them. And usually they burst into tears because it's God. So whoever that is, you're moving into the prophetic realm. You've had some prophetic stuff kind of here and there, hither and yon, little here, little there. But this is going to be daily. It's going to be regular. It's going to become the new normal for you. I see an increase in the gifts. And I'm going to tell you something. This flies in the face of what people think, but the gifts are for the church. They're free. That's why they're called gifts. God desires all his kids to be regular in operating the gifts. Every day, all the time. Because you're not using the gifts because you're special. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's free. You don't deserve it. You don't get it because you deserve it. You know, you get it because you ask. It's a gift. And he desires us all to be used freely and regularly every day in the gifts. Because whenever a gift is used properly and accurately, without fail, it causes the recipient to want more of God. Right? Think about it. You walk up to a person, you say, "I believe I have your healing in my hand." Boom, they're healed. "I believe God is saying this." Boom, they say, "Wow, I want that God." People who have rejected God, rejected the church, will want him with one accurate word. So don't say, "Well, I don't know if God wants to use me." Trust me, he does. He's waiting for somebody, wishing somebody would pick up the gifts and use them. They're gifts. It's not based on your righteousness. You don't have any except what he gave you. It's based on his righteousness. He doesn't use us based on our righteousness. He used us based on his. And his righteousness is 100% every day. Every day. So it doesn't matter what day it is. I can be used, because it's not my righteousness, it's His. He is righteous every day. If it's 2 a.m. on a Monday, God can use me even though I'm tired. Because it's based on His righteousness. And if you get that, you can be used any time, all the time, because it's not about you, it's about Him and them. It's about God. A gift is to connect God with someone. God's heart cry, His heart cry, the desire of His heart, the passion of His heart, is to connect with people who've been lied to about God. People who've misunderstood because of a poor representation or lack of knowledge or lack of trust. The desire and the passion of God is that He would be vindicated, that they would come to know Him. If people knew the goodness of God, they would never run from Him. They would pay any price to get near Him. If they really saw the goodness of God, people would run to find Him. They would not reject Him. So how will that happen? How's it going to happen? We need to manifest by the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. We need to show them Jesus. And we need to ask Him to help us become very accurate. Help us. He'll teach you. You don't have to worry about, don't worry about being a big deal. Don't worry about making a mistake. Just start real gentle. Start real slow. You pray a prayer like this. This is exactly the prayer I prayed. I'm going to tell you. I said, God, I need to hear Your voice. Train me to hear Your voice. I need to know that it's You, and I need to know that it's accurate. Train me. They took 2 years out of my life just to train me in little bitty, teeny, tiny things. That's how you grow. That's how you grow in the gifts, any gift, all the gifts. You say, can believers be used in all the gifts? Yeah. Now, will some people have a special emphasis in one? Sure, because of their calling. Edgar, because of his calling as an evangelist, had an amazing amount of the working of miracles in faith, healing, working miracles in faith. But that's because of his calling. But anybody can be used in those gifts. They're free. It's a gift. I'm going to have you say, I receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
I receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
And Father, I pray,
and Father, I pray
that when I do it,
I
will do it by the fruit of the Spirit, with gentleness and kindness and love and tenderly, because I'm helping one of Your loved ones. Thank You for giving me the ministry of reconciliation. Father, train me. Train me in the gifts. Every day, help me to become more accurate. And help me to be careful that it is accurate. Help me to watch carefully to make sure I'm not going in the flesh. In Jesus' name. And now every day what you do is you just ask the Lord, teach me today, show me what to do, and He'll teach you a little. He's so good. He'll just meet you right where you're at in some little tiny thing. Some of you are going to start on kids. He's going to give you a word of knowledge about something that happened to your kid in a dream last night. Or He'll start you with something so simple. You know, He knows. He doesn't expect you to go stand on a platform in front of 2 million people. And, you know, he doesn't. He's so smart. He's so gentle. He knows where we're at and what we can do. I'm telling you, I was probably at one time the biggest chicken that ever walked the face of the earth. And here's me knowing He's called me to do something public. Are you kidding? You know, so what He did was just a little here and a little there. He did what I could do, you know, which wasn't much. But that's who He is. He's so great. Lori, I'm going to have you come up. Where's Lori? No, she's saying no. No, you're not doing it. She's not doing it. You're not seeing anything? Come on, I know you see. You're hiding out. Lori, Lori. I feel like she's got something. Sometimes you don't know that you have something until you stand up, so. Get her. Get her, God.
Wait.
Actually, what was happening was I could feel a pull in the room. If you need to leave, feel free to leave. I know it's late for some of you, so don't feel like you got to hang in. If you got to go, go. And if you just slip out quietly, and if you want to stay, come on. Amen.
Received an increase. You already have healing anointing, but I saw you received an increase in that, and I believe that as you speak, whether it's tonight or not, I saw an increase in that healing gift, that working of miracles. And so, Father, I thank you. Oh, hallelujah. I saw something go right in. I saw this big circle of thing go right into her back.
Amen. Actually, I'm going to deal with a spirit of fear in here tonight. I'm not sure who it is, but I'm feeling this thing that's been hovering over you and whispering lies into your ear and trying to tell you that it's not going to work and it's always going to be this way. And right now, I just banish that thing. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, I'm asking you to reverse the time. I'm asking you to redeem what the enemy tried to steal. I can feel there's a lot of opposition for a person in the. Actually, there's two people. There's one in this room and there's one online. And if you're watching live, and if you're watching this later and this is you, receive it now in the name of Jesus. But I see this tormenting spirit that's been hindering your walk. You walk a little bit with God, you get a word from the Lord, and you say, okay, we're going to do this together. And then the enemy's like, are you sure? Are you sure it's always going to be this way? And right now, I command that foul spirit to leave right now. Be loosed off you in Jesus' name, never to return. I break the lies associated with that thing, and I release the freedom of God into your heart right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a heart issue in here. I see somebody who's this is a physical issue with the heart muscle. I see damage to the tissue, and right now I see the Lord actually breathing into that, and I release the breath of God into your heart right now. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it all, and I see. Another person, there's a, it looks like a valve or some type of stem in the heart area where artery is connecting into some soft tissue. And I see a little bit of a blockage, but I release you right now. I release the healing power of Jesus to make a way and clear that area out. With no damage, completely, in Jesus' name. There's migraine headache. Somebody has a chronic migraine headache. You wake up in the morning, and you wake up, and the first thing you do is you drink some water and take two pills. I don't know if they're Advil. I don't know what they are. I don't see what the pills are, but there's two of them, and you take them. And you've just been healed of that, and you will not wake up tomorrow and take two pills. You've been healed of that, in Jesus' name. So, if you hear a word and you're not sure it's for you, but you might be struggling with something like that, just say, I receive that. And when you receive it, you're actually invoking the blessing of the Lord. You're pulling it in, kind of like when you reel in a fish, you're pulling in the harvest, you're pulling in the blessing, the healing. So, oftentimes when there's a good word being released, like... I'll just make this one up. Lord, just give me one. How about that? Okay, somebody in here has struggled with writing. They are dyslexic. And right now, God has just healed your brain. There was like a motor issue in your brain, a skill, a misfiring, and God just healed you right now. Now, your memory will improve also as a result of that. You're going to process things differently. Actually, you're going to process for the very first time as the way God intended. I actually see him recreating some tissue in your brain. And so if that's you, receive it. And also, if you struggle with issues of memory, receive that. Say, I receive that right now. See, you can take a live word, a live healing, and there might be a portion for you, and there might be a portion for somebody you know. You can receive that on their behalf. And see, God's word's alive and powerful, and it will heal and deliver and set you free. Amen? You got anything? Hallelujah. There's somebody in here. There's more than one. There's four people in here who are struggling with it's a false pressure of performance. You feel like you have to perform a certain way, meet the mark, and if you don't, you're going to get it. And right now, I just release you from that, because that's a lie from the enemy. I actually saw hooks inside you, and I see the Lord just gently removing them. And you're actually going to wonder tomorrow when you wake up. You're gonna know the difference, and you're going to be like, wow, that was for me. So by faith, receive that right now in the name of Jesus. That's for more than, did I say how many people that was? Yeah, it was four. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, my flesh wants to just stop. You know, I'm like, I just want to stop, but let's keep going, huh?
I want to explain to you how this works. It's we really don't have anything to do with it. It's not, I don't ever want you to think, oh, it's because that person's anointed. No, no, this is what we do, anybody in the body of Christ can do. But it does involve learning how. It does involve some time and some training. It's a journey, okay? But it's free. Jesus paid for the gifts for all us to walk in, okay? But how it works is when a word is spoken by God, if you can imagine when God spoke at the beginning, you know, God allowed me to see, I was reading Genesis 1, he told me to read Genesis 1, he allowed me to see a picture, and, you know, you don't often see a picture of God standing up. Right, but I saw a picture of the Lord standing up, and when he said, "Let there be light," I saw light come out of him. So he wasn't creating it, he was releasing it.
Amen.
And if you become familiar with the way the Father creates things, there is a power that is released anytime he speaks. When he speaks, that's it. Okay? That is why the Word of God is so powerful. It lives and abides forever. All of heaven, it's forever settled in heaven. And here's something interesting. I used to not have this understanding. I used to think, well, if the written Word, you know, I know when the Spirit speaks, that's it. Boy, for me, that's it. But I was like, but the Word, you know, it was written 2,000 years ago. I was struggling with how is that, you know, but it's alive. And what God said, well, in my book, it wasn't 2,000 years ago. I'm not in time. Just like I am, the Word is. Wasn't 2,000, 3,000 years ago, it is. The Word is. It is a creative, powerful force. When God says something, that's it. If you align yourself with what he is speaking, meaning you hear what he's saying and you give it voice, or you simulcast. Sometimes you don't hear it ahead. Sometimes you just, oh, we're saying that. When that happens, it's not you. It's him. And it is one and the same as if he says, let there be. So when you release a word of knowledge, someone's knee is being healed, literally their knee is being healed. You know, now they can refuse it because they go, I don't think that's me, I don't want to, you know. And some people, for whatever reason, sometimes people do that. But we have seen one word of knowledge heal four or five people in a room at a time. Because it's not us, it's him. And when he says it's done, it's done. Right? It's amazing. So, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.